You'd like to turn in your Bibles to Revelation, the 20th chapter, and we're going to read the first six verses. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. Revelation's the last book in the Bible, so you should be able to find it right quickly. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on a dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Once again, may we bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this privilege. I'd ask now that you give me preaching grace and prepare the hearts of the people to receive the message. May we be encouraged as we think of the promises that you've made to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when you have your eyes earth level today, there's a good many things to discourage you. But when you lift your eyes up and look forward, there's much to encourage you. I want to speak to you about the blessings of the millennium. Jesus promised to come back. He said to his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The next age up for us is the kingdom age, when Jesus Christ will rule the world. And I want to talk to you about the blessings that will accompany, at least some of the blessings that will accompany this golden age of 1,000 years, when Jesus Christ will sit on his Father David's throne in Jerusalem, rule the world in righteousness. The first blessing we're going to receive when Jesus comes back is glorified bodies. Now, I've said that thousands of times, and I never go tired of reminding people that when Jesus comes back, that he's going to give us body redemption. The body is not saved now. The body is mortal. The body is dying. The body is corruptible. But that's going to change when Jesus comes back. The incorruptible will put on, the corruptible will put on incorruption, and the mortal will put on immortality. John put it this way, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, that's the second coming, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the first thing, we'll get bodies like Jesus had when he came out of the grave, bodies we can live in forever. I like that. I'm encouraged when I think about that. And then there's another thing. We read it just a few moments ago. When Jesus comes back, the devil's going to be bound. I saw an angel come down from the heaven having the key of the bottomless pit, a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is called the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Satan's not bound now. Someone said if he's bound, he's on a long chain. He's not bound. He is as a roaring lion going up and down the earth seeking those whom he may devour. But I'm happy to tell you that when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, that Satan will be bound. You know, I was just thinking a few moments ago, when Satan's bound, I want to be one of the first to kick him in the teeth. He's given me a lot of problems, and I know that his time's coming. Satan will be bound, put in a death cell for 1,000 years. Going to make a great change in this world when Satan's bound. Do you know the underlying cause of war? And no one knows exactly where we stand today in relation to war. We don't like to think about it. But we've had wars, and we'll have more wars. In fact, this age will end with the bloodiest conflict the world's ever known, Armageddon. But when the devil is bound, it's going to be a time when nations will be at peace with each other. It'll be a time when Jesus Christ will rule the world in righteousness. Many times I've read Luke 1:30 and through 33 and claimed the promises, and I'd like to read them to you. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now notice, it says his name shall be called Jesus. Well, it was, and it is. He was called Jesus. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. Another way of saying he'll be called the Son of God, Son of Man, Son of God. Well, that's taken place. But notice the promise is, the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Where is the throne of David? In Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ will sit on his father David's throne in literal Jerusalem. I'm not talking about some other city. I'm talking about the Jerusalem that's on the map today. Jesus Christ is coming back to that literal city and rule from Jerusalem. It'll be a righteous rule. John saw heaven open, and he saw Jesus coming back to the earth. And here's what he said about him. He said, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That same John said he saw the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Well, that time's coming, friend, when Jesus returns to the earth to rule in righteousness. And may I remind you today that saints who have been faithful to the Lord will be given places of prominence when Jesus rules the earth. Listen to the words found in Luke 19:17. "Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Whatever else that means, I think it has in it the idea that rulership with Jesus Christ, when he comes back to the earth to rule the world in righteousness, rulership with him will be determined by our faithfulness in this life. Again in Matthew 25:21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many." Faithfulness equals rulership. If God can count on you now, he'll call on you when he comes back to the earth to rule the earth in righteousness. I trust that we'll have a part in ruling with him. I'd like to be faithful. I'd like for the Lord to be able to say to me, and I trust he'll be able to say to you, you've been faithful in a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. When Jesus comes back to take over the earth, he'll come back to a world that's torn with war. May I say again that this age will end in Armageddon. And Jesus will come back and put an end to that conflict and will bring peace to a war-torn world. Isaiah 2, verses 3 and 4, many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Now, I don't think any of us would say this is a literal mountain. But as a mountain rises up above the surrounding terrain, so government rises up to rule over. And so this is talking about government. Let us go up to the government of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. We will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I'll be glad to experience that age. Will you not? I'm looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, a time of righteousness, a time of peace, a time of harmony, a time of tranquility here on the earth. It's coming. Isaiah 11:6 says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. They don't lie down together now unless one is inside the other. They just don't do that. But during the millennium, there will be peace even among the animals. Wild, vicious animals will then be tame. Notice it says, the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Now, I think we can understand that. You know how the lion likes his food now? He wants meat with the blood warm in it. Animals prey on each other. But during the millennium, it is said, the lion will eat straw like the ox. There'll be peace on the earth. Did you know before the rebellion of man against God that animals ate herbs instead of eating each other? Genesis 1:30 says this, and to every beast of the field, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat or for food. Now, before man sinned and caused the fall of himself and of his kingdom, animals ate herbs. God gave them herbs for their meat or for their food. And I'm glad to tell you that when Jesus comes back, we're going to have the Edenic glory restored to the earth. Wonderful time ahead, God's people. You ever pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? You ever stop to think what you're praying for? When you pray for the Lord's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're praying for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're praying for the kingdom to come. And I look forward with a great deal of encouragement and comfort when I think of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another blessing we're going to have. The knowledge of the Lord will be universal. That's true. You know, in Daniel 12:4, it says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Well, we're living in an age now when there is tremendous, phenomenal increase of knowledge. We're living in an age of information. Paul put it correctly when he said, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the Lord. This is an age of learning, an age of information. But it seems it is not an age when people are learning more and more about God. But when Jesus comes back, Isaiah 11:9 says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I look forward to a time when there be universal peace, universal knowledge on the earth. And did you know the curse that now rests upon the earth will be removed when Jesus comes back? After Adam sinned, here's what God said to him. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. We live in a world that's cursed. This building, this house of God, is built on an earth that's cursed. We struggle against the curse as we make a living for ourselves and for our family. I was reared on the farm. It was always troubling to me that noxious weeds, grass, cuckleburrs would grow without any help. You never had to worry about whether or not bitter weeds would make seed for the next year or whether they'd just disappear from the earth. If it's no good, it makes seed. You count on that. But if you wanted cotton, corn, wheat, if you wanted fruit trees, you had to plant these things. You had to struggle against the curse to keep them bearing. Well, I'm glad that that's going to change. In Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of the creation is the meaning, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature, and the creation, that's the meaning, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. You know, I was thinking the other day, the earth was groaning and travailing when you had the earthquake in Mexico City. But look, in these verses that I've just read to you, you have a beautiful scene painted here. It shows a great host of the children of God, and they are receiving their glorified bodies. And all of nature that is now in bondage is pictured as being on tiptoe, looking for that great procession of the sons of God when they get their glorified bodies. Now, why is enslaved nature looking with such anxiety and such eagerness? Why is nature looking at the great procession of the redeemed saints? Nature understands that when God's people get their glorified bodies, that enslaved nature will be released. That'll happen when Jesus Christ comes back. You know, the prophet Amos talks about the second coming of Christ, and he speaks of a day when he says that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the trader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop wine, sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. Notice it says the plowman shall overtake the reaper. I think that's talking about the millennium, a time of great prosperity, not only spiritually but materially, when they will not get through with the reaping before it's time to sow again. The millennium will be a golden age, a wonderful age, but it will end in rebellion. Satan will be loosed out of his prison, go out to deceive the nations in a vain attempt to destroy God and God's people. But there is no battle. God rains fire down from heaven and devours them. And then the devil and his crowd put out of business, put down once and for all. And then we're told that there be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I don't know, when I lift up my eyes and look to the future, when I place my gaze upon Jesus Christ and walk among the promises that are found that have to do with his second coming, my heart is warmed. My heart is filled with hope. I'm encouraged. I'm comforted. There's victory ahead for God's people. But let me tell you, as we get ready to sing here in just a moment, let me tell you this. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're rich. You're rich. How wonderful. How wonderful it is to be able to say Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I link my life, my destiny, my everything with him. I look forward to the time when he shall return to the earth and give me victory over a mortal, corruptible body, and bring in a new world order, and bring peace and righteousness, and bring about a golden age. But let me remind you that if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you have nothing to look forward to except death and judgment and hell. I would urge you today, if you're without God and without hope, and you are if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, that you'd trust him today and let him save you.